After almost 40 years as executive director of the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, Tim Brennan will soon retire. During his tenure, the regional planning agency has played a key role in scores of public policy issues, from transportation to reducing pollution in the Connecticut River to improving public safety in small western Massachusetts towns. Brennan sat down with WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill for an interview.
I started in 1973, fresh out of grad school. I did some internships with then Mayor Sean Dunphy in Northampton, and wanted to stay badly in the Pioneer Valley, and luckily had a post here at the Planning Commission in the Transportation Department. That's where I sort of began.
And when did you become executive director?
Very beginning of 81. I think it was technically December of 80, but by the time I really got rolling, January of 81 is probably the most accurate number.
So how did you get involved here? What was the, were you a policy wonk? Is that what drew you to the to this type of work, or why did you gravitate to the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission and say you wanted to stay here?
Well, I think I gravitated to planning because I was exposed to it as an undergrad in my senior year. It was a profession I knew nothing about, but you met. University of Buffalo introduced, well, if you have, here's some professions you may not have heard about. And they probed this one, and I really got intrigued with it. I actually took the New York City planning test just to get a feel for what the material's like, and the rest is history.
So you went to the University of Buffalo, but you were originally from this area?
No, I was originally from, grew up in New Jersey. Went to Buffalo, State University of New York at Buffalo, which is the flagship for my undergrad work. Finished that, began looking for grad schools, and looked at a bunch of them in New England, and I really, again, fell in love with UMass and the surrounding area, and said there's where I want to go.
Since you've been with the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, has its mission changed? Has its work changed? How has its role evolved in the 40 plus years you've been here?
It's changed dramatically. The agenda has gone literally from A to Z. I often tell people, I'm astounded, you know, that today we're working on things like domestic violence prevention out in the hill towns that don't have police departments. We're now trying to configure joint services. Once again, particularly in the rural portion of the region that are struggling with money issues, demographics, loss of population, et cetera, et cetera. So we do have an agenda that goes from A to Z. We've grown from, when I was here, maybe 10 people. We're now 50 people. Budget is about $7 million a year. So we really exploded. And in the process, rather than just get bigger, I think we've gotten increasingly relevant. I think of ourselves as sort of a general store for local government now. We have 43 cities and towns, and each of them has needs, whether they're the city of Springfield or the tiny town of Granville.
And as you mentioned, it's not just land use issues, which I think is what most people associate planning right. with, is land use. It goes far beyond that.
Land use is the bedrock, but you can't talk about transportation without land use. You can't talk about cleaning up the Connecticut River without seeing what's happened alongside it and what's being poured into it, and on it goes. So we have various departments, transportation, environmental protection, economic development, historic preservation. But again, on and on it goes, all those pieces may be somewhat distinct, but they're all connected.
What are some of the key issues that the commission has worked on while you've been here that most stand out, or do you think that it have had the most impact from the work that based on the work the commission's done?
Well, the very first project I worked on as a green planner was legislation was passed, and we were allowed to create the Pioneer Valley Transit Authority. That did not exist. It was a real prospect this was back in the 70s, of having no public transit system at all. Legislature passed enabling legislation. We went to work on creating the PVTA, and now, you know, it exists and it moves 11 million people a year. Connecticut River, New York Times article came out, labeled the Connecticut River the best landscape sewer in the nation. And so we went to work on that again with a lot of other partners. And as we speak, the river is 50% cleaner than it was. We still have a long way to go. But if you go upriver, we have huge recreational use above the Holyoke Dam, and that's only because we've gotten so far with the pollution cleanup. But again, there's land use projects, there's historic preservation projects. It's really a long, long list.
Is there something the commission got itself involved in that you wish you'd stayed away from? Maybe something that became too political because you are a nonpartisan organization?
The one that stands out in that regard, again, goes back to my early years where there was a proposal for a Route 57 bypass, and we didn't think it was a good idea. We came up with an alternative proposal, and for a number of years, the project was stopped because we were opposed to it, and at the time, our colleagues at the PVTA sort of joined with us in that did not come out the way we had thought it was. And then years went by, and the state sort of dropped the whole bypass proposal, and it wasn't constructed. I know Agawam in particular is keen on trying to resuscitate it, but there are so many projects chasing so few dollars that it's a long way off, if ever.
Let's talk about the many projects chasing few dollars and the issue of regional equity. And I know that's something that you talked about quite a lot during the Big Dig, when billions were being spent on the highway project in Boston, and you believe it costs this area dearly. Do I have that correct?
Yes, but not only our area, the entire Commonwealth outside of Boston. We sort of went through a meltdown and watched the dollars coming to the region to program go down and down and down. We were into the single-digit million level when it was revealed in the press that the actual cost of the dig was being publicized, and then all hell broke loose. By that time, however, it would have cost more to stop the big dig than to go forward with it, and so our attention went towards, okay, now it's revealed what's really happening. We have to find a pathway to rebuild ourselves and come out of this very deep hole that we're in. And that's taken decades. I think we began to finally turn the corner in the last administration of Deval Patrick, and that's continued with Governor Baker. Having said all of that, costs of things have escalated. We're a region of bridges, which are extremely expensive to fix or to replace. So infrastructure funding is still a big, big concern.
Climate change, obviously, is a big issue that many agencies are confronting. What work is the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission doing in that area now?
I would just underscore that as I leave, that's the biggest challenge for this agency and anybody that calls them a public sector professional planner. The consequences of not dealing with are absolutely dire. That's been reinforced by reports from the UN and our own government. So we're doing everything we can, doing a lot of projects in terms of renewable energy, getting ourselves off fossil fuels for heating of homes, going to solar projects, et cetera, et cetera. I think the big dilemma is 40%+ of the greenhouse gases are still coming from transportation sector. And that's where we have to focus our attention. There was a big report that came out that the governor asked for earlier this year. It has some pretty provocative recommendations. And again, we see our job is trying to make those ideas become reality. Bigger electric vehicle fleet, turning over the PVTA to all electric vehicles, charging stations across the region, any and all things that will really attack that mobile source of greenhouse gas emissions.
Another report that the Baker administration just recently came out on had to do with traffic congestion. To no one's surprise, it found that traffic congestion has gotten much worse in Massachusetts in the last 5 years. In fact, the report said that we've reached a tipping point where the average commuting time has gone up and daily commutes have become less and less predictable because an accident, a work construction area can have a cascading effect that just results in gridlock. And it's not just a Boston problem. Do you agree with that, that it's not just a Boston problem?
I agree. The intensity of the problem is severe in Boston. And I can speak to that firsthand. I go in and out of Boston for business trips all the time. When I'm coming out of Boston, say on a Friday, I count on 3 hours one way. So to me, we're relatively better. We have pockets of congestion, Route 9, I-91 in certain areas, even the Pike in certain areas continue to be problematic. So we have certainly better circumstances than Boston does. But to me, this is a way to underscoring a couple of things that we're advocates for out here. A rail connection with Boston. We think, and actually we know, that connection is something that's widely popular among the public, but it would have huge economic, housing, and other benefits out here. And we might also be helping Boston out with some of their problems. Also, it's triggering our activity in things like starting the Pioneer Valley Bike Share, which is only a year old, and we're already expanding that into East Hampton this year. So congestion is a problem, but we've known for a while that building more highways is not the way out any longer. So we have to get smarter and choose to look at some of the innovative strategies that the congestion report points to.
You're on the Rail Study Commission. MassDOT says that it's looking at six alternatives for east-west rail. Do you like any of those six better than the others?
I don't know enough about all of them to be able to answer that question and be comfortable with my answer. I would say that three of the six offered a bus connection out of the Berkshires, and frankly, that seemed to me dead on arrival. That's just not a viable option for the Berkshires. I think the key is that we have to find an option that's doable within a short amount of time. There are some exotic proposals that would require new right-of-way, technology, and we're talking easily 20, 25, 30 years out. We need something much faster from that for being able, if you can't connect, you can't compete. And to me, that's all important in terms of getting connection within the next decade. And it needs to be not necessarily super fast at the outset, but it absolutely needs to be reliable.
What are you gonna miss most about this job, if anything?
Everything. I mean, the reason it's taking me so long to retire is I love my work. This is a day I can come in. I'm never bored. I'm always learning something. I have a terrific staff of men and women to work for. I've always had a superb board to direct the work of myself and my agency. So I'm a little nervous about stepping away from that after later this month. It'll be 46 years I've been working here. But I've had a great career, and I feel like those sports people do. We're at the top of our game. It's time for me to set aside and let some other leader, who now happily we have one, coming from Nevada, and she's going to be the new leader, and I'm really excited about turning the baton over to her.
That's Kimberly Robinson.
That's right.
And what can you tell us about her?
She is running a regional operation comparable with ours in the Reno, Nevada area, which includes Lake Tahoe. And she's had a dozen years there, worked in the city planning department of City of Detroit, graduate of University of Michigan. And I think she's a really good fit in terms of her demeanor, her experience, and her eagerness. I was really impressed. Of course, the selection committee brought her out here to be interviewed face-to-face, and she spent a whole week traveling all over the region, asking questions, you know, talking to people. That sort of told me she really wants to be the leader here, and she's landed it.
Any final thoughts?
I think the final thought I have is the biggest problem that you touched on a moment ago. It's urgent that we tackle climate change. It's not postponable. We're already beyond the clock running down. So I feel planners whose job it is to head off the problems or at least mitigate the problems that are in the future. I've always said that planners work in two time zones, the present and the future. This is the one that planners, whether you're a regional planner or a local planner, it's all hands on deck. We have to get everybody to be active, but we're supposed to be leading the charge, and I certainly want this agency to be at the front of the pack.